Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 we started with many times. Be careful for nothing, full of care, full of worry, fret, concern, anxious, uptight, strung out. Translators say don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. That means your finances, your old car, your children, your grandchildren, your house, your job, your friends. Don't worry about anything. Worry is just because you can't solve it. That's why you're worried about it. If you could solve it, you wouldn't be worried. You'd be out solving it. Don't worry about anything. The word worry comes from an English word in 900 that means to bite or to strangle. I love that because that's what worry does. It bites your mind. It strangles your thoughts. It twists your emotions. It's used of two dogs fighting when one has one by the throat and shakes that dog violently. It's called worrying the dog. And that's what worry does to your emotions. Now, we've covered that many times, and there are CDs out there if you want to hear some of that. But it says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. In other words, stop that this minute. Every mother said that once or twice. And this is a word from God. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's your solution. It's prayer. But you notice it's not a whining prayer. Oh, God! We tend to do that. But it says prayer. The word supplication means you have an urgent need, an urgent request. It's the word request, but this is a particular word that means make an urgent request. The word request used in this verse, let your request be made known. It says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So there's an attitude. In the middle of your dilemma, in the middle of something you could worry about, fret about, be uptight about, there's an attitude that'll put you over, and it's thanksgiving.
Amen.
Now, nobody wants to do that when you got a need, a problem. Well, I got up one morning. I am not one to cry. I don't cry once every 10 years. My mother said, if you cry, you cry in your room. I was well taught. It caught on. I guess my personality yielded to that. And I got up not in such a good mood, and I don't know why. I didn't have any real reason. And so I'm going to walk around my kitchen island, which is about 5 foot, 6 foot, and I'm going to say praise the Lord. Just any minute now. I mean, just any day now. I'm going to say, I walk round and round. I could not get my mouth open. All I wanted to do, you know, you want to whine. You want to cry. You'll say, oh, God, why did she do that? Why did they say that? Why does this happen to me? So finally I said, praise the Lord, and then I just dropped to my knees and cried. And then I got up because I know prayer with thanksgiving is your solution. If you know your solution, you ignore your solution because you're in a bad mood or you don't feel well, you've ignored your answer. You cannot ignore your answer, don't care how you feel about it. And prayer with thanksgiving, that's the answer. That's the answer. I didn't feel like it. I went round and round a few more times and I said, praise the Lord. I did a little better. I thought, well, okay. And then I said, glory to God. Now, I was raised in a strict religious home, very strict religious home, as in very. And we didn't ever dance. We were taught that dancing, God doesn't approve of dancing. And he doesn't approve of some of it. I'm just going to guarantee you that. So we never danced, never danced a day in my life. I always had that note, went to school, Becky Hudson does not dance. And I sat in the stands while they learned square dance. We didn't go to the movies. I didn't go to the senior drama because it was the movie playing Gone with the Wind. I was not allowed to go. I thought everybody lived that way. That had never bothered me. I just thought this is the way it is when you serve God. You live a very narrow life and you go through that narrow gate. And there is truth to that. But that day, going around that island, something happened to my feet. I felt it. It hit my feet, up my ankle, all the way up to my knee. And I couldn't stand still. And I don't know if I was dancing or not because I don't know anything about dancing. But I went round and round and shouted. There's nobody home but me, and I don't guess it mattered if they'd all been home. Because God was moving and working. See, and it began not with a feeling or an emotion. I didn't feel like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I felt depressed, uptight. But I know prayer with thanksgiving, that is my answer. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you don't plug into God's answer, you don't get the relief, the release, the power that he can send. Prayer with thanksgiving. So the first thing we're going to rule out is emotions. Not everybody likes to feel good and feel right. I don't do that myself. I love it. Well, you don't have to work at it. But if you do have to work at it, you do, people. You just do. We're going to pray with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known. So I've got this request, this urgent need, and I'm going to say, oh, I come, Father, with great thanks, thanking you that you're the author and the finisher of my faith. Thanking you that this weapon formed against me will not prosper. Thank you that the tongue that rises against me in judgment is condemned. I always say, if you have a particular problem you're dealing with, you have your scriptures written down in place of great stress, you can read your paper. And if you don't think that's a helpful tip, you ain't tried it, because sometimes you're far removed from the scripture that yesterday you could have quoted. It just won't come back to you what God has said. So you get out your paper and you read it. Because God's word is alive. It says, God's not a man that he should lie. When he gave his word and said, prayer with thanksgiving is your answer, then prayer with thanksgiving is your answer. In the middle of this thing that you could have worried about. Now here's the bottom line in the prayer of God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So you want the peace, but the peace comes after the prayer with thanksgiving. So what we think, if I had peace, then I could shout. No, if you don't shout, you'll never get the peace, because it comes in that order. Prayer with thanksgiving, and then peace that passes understanding. That's when you should be worried, you should be concerned. You used to be worried, now you're not worried. It says it keeps your mind and your heart. It's like a helmet goes over your head, the helmet of salvation, Ephesians chapter 6, so that you no longer can worry. Worry won't get in. You're just neutral. You're kind of like that heart machine at the hospital when somebody dies. Your whole being is like, you know. And the shield of faith is over your heart. And there's a supernatural guarding because you came with thanksgiving when you didn't feel like it. Now, if you did feel like it, that's a wonderful thing. But if you didn't feel like it, you're going to pray with thanksgiving anyway, because you won't answer. Now, the only reason I'd pray with thanksgiving, if you came to me and you said, Becky, can you loan me $1 million or $500,000 or can you loan me $100,000? You wouldn't come with thanksgiving. You wouldn't come with joy because you're not certain I could or would do that. When you pray with thanksgiving, it's because you know the person you're rejoicing in has your answer. You don't know if I could. If you ask for $100 bill, you don't know if I've got it on me or if I could or would do it. You can't come. You come with a little anticipation. You come a little reluctantly because you don't know. Now, years ago, the lady said she had this need. It was huge, huge. And she said, my friend is moneyed and very generous, and I'm going to ask her. She really wasn't a close friend. I found out later they were just kind of an acquaintance, someone she'd met a time or two. Ask her if she would just give me this money, and I'm going to tell her I can't ever pay her back. I was horrified. I thought, I never heard such in my entire life. So what I do, I try to put the brakes on people when I'm insecure about what they're asking me. You can't tell people they didn't hear from God. You don't know that. So I said, let's pray about it about a week and see. I said, let's make sure that this is the right move for you. She went right out and right to the lady's house. She didn't have any doubt at all. She was confident. She was full of joy. She said, I'm going to ask her. I'll tell her what I need. I'll tell her I can't pay her back ever. She just knew that'd work. Prayer with thanksgiving. Confident prayer. And her friend said, sure, how much is it? Wrote her a check. Now, when I go to God, he can do it. I know he can. And if I have his word backing me, I know he will. He said, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. So when I'm praying about my healing, I know I'm praying to God who has the answer, who can impress my heart by the Spirit so that I know that I know. I'm praying with thanksgiving because I know God keeps his word, and he said I was healed. And so I go with joy. I go with thanksgiving. If you go to anybody else, you can't come with as much joy unless you're absolutely certain that they will do it for you. And the only person you can be absolutely certain about is God when you go according to his word. Pray with thanksgiving. And then expect peace. Peace is, first of all, it's harmony in relationships. Harmony is not everybody singing the same note. It's everybody in the same song. And that's very important, is there's a unity, a oneness in harmony. Though we are different people doing different things, we are very one. It's harmony. It's also being quiet and content. Resting. You know, like when you sit on the ocean, what we do, I don't know, because I don't like the water. I sit there and go, you just watch the waves that come in. You're not doing anything. Your heart is quiet. You're at rest, watching the fish tank, watching the fireplace and the fire burn. You just kind of zone out, you know. And that's what it means. You're such at peace. You just zoned out there with God. Now look at John 14. And here's the other thing. It's very clear. It means freedom from agitation. Freedom from frustration. I know I don't have to explain frustration to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and that's the Greek word agitation. Now, if you have an older washer, it still has an agitator in it. The purpose of the agitator is to keep the water stirred up. And this trouble that you've got, this dilemma, whether it's your health or your finances or your children or your neighbors, keeps you agitated. And what God said, let not your heart be troubled, he said, do not get agitated. Do not get agitated. He said, you don't have to get agitated. Why? Same reason you can pray with thanksgiving. God's here. He's here. And he's not like Santa Claus. You know the myth about Santa Claus making a list, checking it twice? He's not doing a single thing for you except writing your name down, whether or not you did good or bad. He's not helping you in any way. He's just watching. But God is not just watching you. He lives in you, and he's working with you. And he's stirring up your spirit and your heart, tuning you up. If you've been to the orchestra, Suzanne played the flute in the band, they always tune up before the concert. It sounds like a mishmash of nothing. But it's everybody getting on the same note. And what God is saying, if you just get on the same note with me, just get on my note, get where I am. Well, how does that begin? It's a feeling? No, it isn't a feeling at all. You can feel rough, tough, hindered, uptight, and run over. And you say, here I come, Lord, in your presence. Not with much sincerity either, see, because I got a problem here. I got a trouble, an anguish, a burden, a dilemma, a calamity. Pick a word you like. And he said, don't sweat it. If this had been written today, it'd say, don't sweat it. Now, if you look over at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Peace is the outcome of not sweating it, of turning it over to God, of casting every care upon him. Peace is your outcome. Harmony, quietness, contentment, rest, freedom from frustration alone is worth everything. You know, if you're a little uptight about something and you're with me and I'm not uptight, you know, everybody gets uptight on a different level about different things. And you say, doesn't that bother you, Becky? Doesn't that bother you? Because you can see it doesn't bother me. Something else might, but that doesn't. It's just bothering you. I said, no. And they said, I don't know how you can. Odors really, really bother me. They bother me when nobody smells them but me. It's an amazing thing. Joel's like that. My brother's like that. Anything that has odor, any food odor, is cooked outside. We do not cook cauliflower in the house. We do not cook collard greens in the house. In fact, very little is cooked on the stove anymore. It's going to be in good condition for decades. I cannot stand the smell. And the first thing I want to do is, you can't smell that? I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? That smells terrible. Wayne can't even smell it. I have to tell him. It stinks in here, Wayne. And we have wax burners in every just about two or three rooms and all the kind of perfume stuff and the latest sprays because I can't stand the odor. And the fact that you didn't smell it wouldn't bother me at all because I smell it. When I get up in the morning and Wayne's got the coffee pot on, I think, oh, dear Lord. What a terrible odor. I have never said anything to him because he has one cup of coffee a day. But when I get up, I think, I could have gone all day without starting my day with that stinking coffee in my nose. But see, we're all different. It's okay to be different. But that would trouble me. That would bother me. That would steal my peace. What if I had to learn to behave? I'm really good at behaving. I'm holding my breath, but I'm thinking. It took me decades, literally decades, to learn to wear perfume. There's one or two brands now that I do wear. Very seldom, but I do have, so I do wear them. Now look, peace I leave with you. That would steal my peace. But in spite of the fact that my nose is irritated by whatever it is, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be untroubled because that's right. To be ugly and unkind, sharp-tongued, because you have on whatever, would be unkind. I'm not going to do that. See, there is, in this matter of prayer with thanksgiving, which brings peace beyond understanding, there is this matter of self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, called temperance. There is a matter of, you know, when you said something and you thought you probably wouldn't say it, and then you did say it and you wished you hadn't said it. And the minute you said it, you thought, I knew I shouldn't have said that. There is this matter of temperance, of self-control, of doing the right thing, even though I don't feel right. I don't feel right about the smell, but I'm going to do the right thing. I don't feel right about this situation. I'm deeply troubled. I'm uptight. I don't like this. This isn't working for me. It isn't working for you. What are we ever going to do? But I'm going to look to heaven with thanksgiving, in spite of how I feel, how the people smell. I just have to totally pretend like I didn't smell it. And how you felt about your dilemma, you have to table that for the power of God, which comes through thanksgiving. You get that, right? I said that right, didn't I? Peace I leave with you, my peace. I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled or agitated, neither let it be afraid. Fear and agitation go together. It's kind of like dominoes. Now look at Philippians 1. The first verse in verse 4 is always. Always, you know what always means? Without exception. There are no exceptions here. You're not an exception. Your problem's not too big for this. Always, in every prayer. How many prayers? Every single prayer you pray, always. For you, making request with joy. Let's talk about meeting my need, what I need. Now, I may fall in travailing prayer about something. That's different totally. But I'm talking when I pray and make a request to the Father. Every request comes with joy, with thanksgiving. Every single one, always, 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 always. Every. I asked one man, he wanted to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I explained it to him, and I always use the scripture, everyone that asks receives. I said, are you everyone? And he said, well, I don't know if I'd be everyone or not. I know we've lost. We've totally lost the war here. We've totally lost. He doesn't know what every. Every is you. You're an every. It says, make that request with joy. I said, here I come, Lord. This is a situation, well, you know how bad it is, so I'm not going to have to explain that to you. But I come with thanksgiving and joy because you're my answer. I come and lay this petition out before you. And I know I can have the mind of Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the mind of the Lord. And James 1, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give to all men liberally and upbraids not. It means upbraid means he doesn't scold you for being so stupid. I said, I can't believe, Becky, you didn't figure that out. We're not very good at making requests with joy and thanksgiving, are we? Usually we feel overwhelmed and we pray an overwhelming prayer. See, joy indicates your faith. It indicates your trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If I trust you, I'm not worried. I'm not uptight. I'm not strung out. If I trust you, I'm happy about this. I said, oh, no, Wayne's got that. Well, he'll do that. And he will if he promised. Well, did God make you any promise? Did he say you were healed? Did he promise you that? And he said, well, then you can make that request with joy because you've got the word on it. Now look at 1 John 5. I'm talking about prayer for yourself. Prayer with thanksgiving precedes peace. First the prayer, first the thanksgiving, first the standing on God's word, first the joyous petition, and then the armor of peace that anchors you. First joy. So, there's always something. So, well, you don't know what I have to worry about. I said, oh, I don't know. I've heard everything once. Give me a try. Every time I say I've heard everything once, somebody tells you something really, really far out. Verse 14, chapter 5, this is a confidence. We're going to pray with confidence. We're going to pray with joy. We're going to pray with confidence. I'm talking about an attitude of prayer that brings peace. Attitude of prayer. See, if I'm insecure about my answer, I'm not going to be at peace. I'm going to be a little uptight. I'm praying with my fingers crossed, you know. This is a confidence we have in Him. If you have confidence in God's Word, you have confidence in God. If you have confidence in God, you have confidence in His confidence. I'm sure of this. I'm absolutely sure of this. This is a confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I'm going to pray confidently. And the only way I can pray confidently is if I'm praying in His Word, I'm praying in His will. I'm praying what He wants. See, He said, if you ask me for what I said you could have, I will hear you and I will do that. That's how confident I can be. Because I've come for healing, that's in His will. Absolutely in His will. Absolutely in His plan from Genesis to Revelation. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That means if it's illegal, immoral, or really off the wall, dumb, you better ask again. It's for something else. God ain't going to answer that. If we know He hears, well, how do we know He hears? He said, if it's my will, I'll hear you. How can we know His will? If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We're going to ask with joy. We're going to ask for His will. And therefore, we're going to ask with confidence, with trust. Wow, hallelujah, we got that. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have. Not we think we have, we hope we have. Give it a shot. You never know. This could work out. But we know we have this. Why? It was according to His will. And I knew that when I went to ask. I came with confidence. I came with joy because I knew that this is what God would want from me. Or from my children. I have authority over my children. Not mine because they're adults. But if you have small children, you have authority there. And it says, we know we have the petitions we desired of Him. We know that. We know that. We know that. Not we hope. Had people pray with such faith, they said they were praying in faith. And then it didn't come to pass, and they say, I knew that wouldn't work. I knew it. Well, they weren't in faith to start with. Mark 11, 24, you know. We're going to pray with joy. We're going to pray with thanksgiving. We're going to pray with confidence because we're praying the will of God. And when we do, the peace that passes understanding is going to mount guard. It's going to cover our mind, protect our spirit. And then we're going to do like the song we sing says, we're going to sing a little louder. Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire. Well, what can you desire? Mark 1 John 5, anything according to His will. If we ask according to His will, He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have. You can't ask any off the wall, dumb thing, illegal, immoral. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. When you pray, believe. I want to ask in joy. I want to ask in confidence. I want to ask in faith. How can I ask in faith? Because God said I was healed. By Jesus' stripes you were healed. If you serve the Lord, He blesses your bread and water, takes sickness and disease away from you, and the number of your days He does fulfill. I know that. So I can go confidence, and I can ask according to His will. He said, if it's my will, if you desire my will in your life and you ask according to my will, you can know I heard you. You can know I answered. You can believe that. We're not hoping so. We're believing. Now, faith has nothing to do with what you see. We walk by faith, not by sight has nothing to do with how you feel about it or what you see or any emotional sensation. I know when you have high blood pressure or numbers that you monitor, like diabetic numbers or any other, triglycerides, and you have a really good day, I mean, you're flying high, you're happier than a kite. And you know why you're so happy? It's not because God said. It's because you had physical evidence. And when physical evidence outweighs the Word of God, we are in trouble. The last time one of us had high numbers in an area which we never have high numbers, we went out and did what we never do. Wayne's triglycerides had dropped to normal, which had never happened before. And I said, let's celebrate. Let's go have toast. But that celebration was strictly physical. It was based on the medical report. It wasn't based on thus saith the Lord. We had thus saith the Lord the year before when the report wasn't good, and the year before when the report wasn't good, and the year before. It's been several years since we had that good report. We had the evidence already. We had the evidence of His Word, and we made our request with joy, and we made it with confidence, and we made it in faith because God had said, do not let the physical evidence outweigh thus saith the Lord. It's a mistake. It says, believe. We're going to ask in faith. Ask in faith. Ask confidently. Ask with joy. And what's going to happen? Peace beyond understanding. Now look at Isaiah 26, which we read last week. What a terrific little verse. Song. It's actually a song. So thou will keep him in perfect peace. Philippians said peace without understanding. Which would be perfect, wouldn't it? When the Hebrew emphasizes something, if you were reading this in the Hebrew, it said, thou will keep him in peace, peace. It would have been repeated. Peace, peace. The margin of your Bible, if you have marginal rendering, will say that. And for emphasis, God's going to keep you in peace, peace. Whose mind is stayed. The New Living said, whose thoughts are fixed on him. My thought is fixed on his promise. My thought is fixed. The word stay means you're leaning on him, you're propped up on him. He's your support. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Peace beyond understanding. So that's what I want. Did you pray with thanksgiving? Did you shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph? See, we said, well, I didn't really feel like it. Me either. Look at the 119th Psalm. Great peace, perfect peace. That's your heritage. That's your right in God. That's what God wants for you. If I say, and you know it's exactly right, 165th verse, you know that the 119th Psalm is really long. And this says great peace. 165, great peace. I mean, you know the word great. Elephant's great in size. Giraffe's great in height. The ocean's great. Just goes on and on. And if you don't think so, fly over it. Fly to London. Take 10 hours and you'll know this is a great big ocean. And he said, I can give you peace that's great. It's going to be great. It's going to be big. It's going to be wide. It's going to be tall. It's going to envelop you. So how's that going to come? I'm going to pray with thanksgiving. In the middle of my trouble, my dilemma, my agitation, my frustration, my calamity, my difficulty, my pain, pain, pain. Pain is a real killer of joy. I know I've been there. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. God's people who have peace, who walk with God, who walk in the Word, cannot be offended. You cannot offend me. Now, I've been offended. But God says, if we're walking with Him, you'll never be offended. You have great peace. That's why I said, well, doesn't that make you mad? I said, not today. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? I just sing, sing, sing. That helps me. I'm not a vocalist. One pastor introduced me because he had heard me teach and sing. He said, Sister Becky's not a vocalist. She's just a singer. Well, I'm not offended by that. That's absolutely the truth. Great peace. Is that what you want? Perfect peace? Peace beyond understanding? Have you prayed with joy yet? Have you prayed with thanksgiving yet? Have you prayed in confidence, resting your prayer request on the word of the living God? Have you prayed in total faith because you know God's will in this matter? That's what brings the peace. Basically think, if I had peace, I could pray. Just too distressed about this to pray. That's when you need some friend that you can call on the phone or come to your house or lives at your house, who will kneel by your bed at night, as Wayne did many times when I had a pinched nerve. I've never had such pain in my entire life. I can't describe the pain. It's absolutely beyond mind-boggling. And there were days when I couldn't find joy. I had to import it. You see? One minister had a church dilemma. Ministers have church dilemmas because they deal with us. And he couldn't solve it, and he didn't sleep at night, and he's tossing and turning, and his wife's trying to help him. And she was a great vocalist. And finally, he didn't know what else to do. He said to his wife, and I forget what her name is. I always call her Mabel. I actually don't remember what he said her name was. He said, "Sing, Mabel, sing." Because when my hands are lifted up and my heart's filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, pray with thanksgiving, pray with joy, pray the will of God with confidence, pray in faith, believing. That's how you get peace. Now, the verse I like particularly is in Philippians chapter 4. It says, I was going to quote it, but since you're looking at your Bible, I'll tell you where it is. I appreciate that. I believe it's verse 9, but let me look and make sure. 4:9. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen, do. And the God of peace, who is he? The God of peace will be with you. Those things which you have learned and heard and seen, do that, do that, do that. And then you're going to recognize the presence of the God of peace. And God is not with you just watching. He said, "Fear thou not." Why? "I'm with you." Well, if all he's watching, you can go back to your fear. If all he's doing is saying, yeah, you're in a jam. You're in a bad place. No, he said, "Fear or not, I'm with you." That means I'm doing something here for you. You have nothing to be afraid of. He said, "Be not dismayed, uptight, strung out in a narrow place in your thinking. Because I am God." Now listen, sometimes we don't get the scripture, how powerful it is. If I adopt a child, I said, "Now I'm your mother. This is your father." I would say, "We're going to educate you and dress you and provide you with a room and see that you get all the education you need. We're going to love you. We're going to provide medical treatment for you if you get sick. We are your parents. I am your mother. This is your father." And when God says to you, "I am God." And then he goes on to say in that verse, that's Isaiah 41:10, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you." When he said, "I'm with you and I'm God," what he meant was, "I'm here to help you. I'm going to help you." And then he says, "First thing I'm going to do is going to strengthen you. Strengthen you." What a valuable thing is. He's here. How is he here? Those things, listen again, which you have learned and seen and heard. Learned, seen, heard. What have we learned? Pray with thanksgiving. Pray in faith. Pray confidently. Those that you've learned, do that. Do that. What happens when you do that? The God of peace will be with you. Not watching. Working. He's working. You know, you don't hire a yard man to send you a report that the backfield's underwater, which it is, got a little underwater there, and the flower beds need weeding, and the boxwood is too tall, And your amaryllis bulbs are dying because they're drowning out there. I just wanted him to make note of that and send me a written report. Why, no, I didn't. I didn't hire him to send me any report. God didn't come just to give you a report, just to tell you this is what it would do, this is what it could do, this is what it should do, this is what you should do. He came because he's standing by to help you when you have learned something, seen something, and begin to do something. Then he said, I'm with you. I am God. There's a book I read particularly like. You don't even have to like the contents. It's called But God. But, B-U-T, But God. And it'll give you some dilemma, and it'll say, but God. I just like the title. I got a book I never have read. I look at the title, at the cover. Love that book. Love that cover. Never have read it. It's called Hung by the Tongue. Love that. I think, how many times you hung yourself by the tongue? By what you said? Hung by the tongue. Had it for decades. Never have read it. God is here, he said. Those things, I want you to come there so you'll get it. Those which you have learned and heard and seen. If you learn about joy and you don't practice, if you learn about confidence and faith, if you learn to pray his will according to the word and you don't do that, then you have roadblocked the action that God wanted to take on your behalf. He said, I, the God of peace, will be with you. You got that right? We thank you, our Father, for the wonderful day in the word. The wonderful anointing that the musicians brought to us this day. Thank you, our Father. I needed that myself. Nobody's perfect here, not even Wayne and I. So we're so grateful that you stir our heart and remind us of the sound principles of your word. And we come with thanksgiving today. We come with joy today. So stir us up, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.